Cinemavino is brought to you by Audible.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to read the first ad because apparently I'm extremely inappropriate. Well, I think Sean and Todd are a couple idiots.
Well, thank you, Travis.
I'm the perfect guy to read this copy because I love Audible. I listen to all of the Lord of the Rings books, and I'm currently listening to Once and Future King. I love it.
And you didn't use any profanity there. I'm very proud of you.
Go blink yourself, Todd. With Audible, you get that plus thousands of audiobooks and podcasts across a ton of genres.
With an Audible membership, you gain access to all the titles you want, plus keep one title per month for yourself. Download the Audible app and you can listen at home, driving in the car, or just about anywhere.
Todd, you're horrible at this. Let me take it from here. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to enjoy all the perks of membership, plus receive a free title just for signing up. Visit www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino to start today. That's www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino.
And welcome back.
Hey.
Cinemavino.
Ahoy.
Hi.
It's good to have you guys here. We got Travis Budd.
We got a full crew.
We got a full house.
We got full and nasty.
We got all four Beatles here.
Yeah.
I'll let you work out who is who.
The Beatles.
And yeah.
Oh, I'm Ringo.
Got Brother Owens and Brother Jordan.
Hey.
My name's Todd.
Howdy.
Yeah.
What about Brother Budd?
Brother Budd is here.
Oh, he started with me.
Yeah. Yeah, such as he is.
You got to really pay attention more, Sean.
I just want to say, Brother Budd.
You're on this podcast. Like, act like it.
If you're going to be with us, be with us.
That's right.
Am I here or am I somewhere else?
One of us. One of us.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about part two of our Halloween series, Return of the Living Dead, and we're going to drink a little garnacha from Spain. I picked garnacha for the reason that it's rich in antioxidants, so it is good for the brain, so it fits in really well with a zombie movie.
What does garnacha translate to?
Grenache.
Nice.
So, Grenache is a red grape that originated, they think, in Spain long, long time ago. One of the most commonly grown grapes in the world. Primarily in Europe, you'll see it as a blending grape a lot in places where it's like with Syrah, Mourvedre, Carignan. You'll see it with other stuff commonly. Rich, dark fruit, dark cherries, currant. I've heard it described that way a lot. Earthy. It can be kind of smoky, tar flavored. I mean, it's a nice, rich red wine. So,
but it originated in like Babylon, ancient Samaria.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
That's
the cradle of civilization.
Yeah,
exactly what Trav says. In Spain, Grenache is often, I mean, it can be blended with other stuff, including Cabernet, but you'll see it solo a lot. You'll see a lot of solo garnachas, you know, for 10, 15, 20 bucks. They're good buy for a table wine, and you can do them with kind of a rich meal. So
yeah,
they're nice wines, and yeah, supposedly this Pinot Noir and Malbec are the richest wines for antioxidants in the world, so they claim.
Ah.
So, and they say with a small helping every day, it improves cognitive function. So
this is health food.
Yes. Yeah. This is a health food podcast. This is us.
Yeah. We are brought to you by Grenache.
And you can't see us right now, but we are the paragons of health. We look like we are just health nuts.
Four Adonises.
Yes.
Adonai?
Yeah.
Todd, I wish when you were like being facetious, like you would keep me out of the loop. Like I'm feeling pretty good right now. I lost like 2 pounds the other day.
There you go.
I mean, it was after a violent BM, but still, like... It's kind of like you measure twice, cut once. Like I only weigh myself once, and I'm like, all right, now that's got to be what I still am for the next like 5 weeks.
It's like measure twice, cut once. It's like shit twice, weigh once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of math exactly. There.
That's it.
Yeah, that's fun. I can hear the sponsor like deleting our email address right now.
Thought we were getting sponsored by a bidet.
I know, I did too. That would be perfect for this. Like talking about
missed out,
just relieving our bowels. So,
okay.
2 pounds, you said.
Yeah.
Audible's great. Do they have Everybody Poops on there? I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
Of course. Do they have picture books on Audible?
That's narrated by Edward James Olmos.
I would read the shit out of that. On the shitter.
Everybody Poops.
So say we all.
Yeah.
So say we all.
So, we're going to talk about Return of the Living Dead, part 2 Halloween series. This is a horror comedy, came out August 16th, 1985. Directed and written by Dan O'Bannon, who co-wrote the original Alien and Total Recall. So he's got some sci-fi stuff on the resume. And a weird, like, variation of sci-fi. I mean, Alien is a dark, like, disturbing sci-fi movie. I mean, it's like a lifeboat with a monster.
Yeah.
Kind of it's a like thing. A thriller kind of sci-fi horror.
Yeah, yeah. Total Recall definitely has more of the humor, but also kind of mind-bendy, twisty. Is it Philip K. Dick? Did he write that?
I think so.
Okay. I get my sci-fi, you know, my temperamental sci-fi writers confused. Like Harlan Ellison, Philip K. Dick, what was it, the Orson Scott Card or whatever. There's a whole bunch of grouchy sci-fi writers. I can't keep them all straight.
I think you have to be kind of grouchy to be a sci-fi writer. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a prerequisite.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray Bradbury, Frank Herbert, you know.
It's like you have to be like that troll in Monty Python, the Holy Grail, Guard the Bridge. You have to be like, I can't adapt this into a movie.
I really hope that you're about to make a troll in Central Park reference. Was that Don Bluth? That did, or who did? No. Charles Nelson Reilly did the voice of the troll. That's right.
I can't believe I just, you put down the reference and I picked it up.
Yeah.
King in Central Park or whatever. Yeah, that's great. So this was a modest hit at the time, but it got really good reviews from the critics.
It got some dollar bills.
Yeah.
It cost $4 million to make, and it made 14.2.
Yeah. Back.
Did you say $4 million?
Mm-hmm.
$4 million to make, it made 14.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Decent return.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of money in 1985.
That could be a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in any 80s movie, you have to allot about 30% of it for cocaine.
Okay.
Just
this
powder.
Movie for sure.
Yeah. This movie kicked off a lot of zombie horror tropes, which we can discuss in detail, but quite a few of them. I mean, the zombies that run, zombies that love to eat brains, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of stuff that this movie kind of got the ball rolling on. So it's set in Louisville, Kentucky, follows a disparate group of lunkheaded characters. I don't think there's really a brainy character in the group. You guys can...
No.
I don't think there's a bright bulb glowing in this movie at all. They deal with a sudden uprising of brain feasting zombies. This includes two goofballs in a medical supply store played by James Caan and Tom Matthews, old man and young man. And old man is leading the guy around on a tour of the place where they have like dog cadavers and like, you know, skeletons with perfect teeth. And that has to be a real short list of people who were like 80 years old and die and don't have to buy the signs and have perfect teeth. That has to be a real small crew of people.
Did that guy remind you of the guy from Cheers, the old guy from Cheers?
Oh, maybe
a little bit now, yeah.
Coach,
yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see Coach playing that part.
I really could.
Yeah. But naturally, the old man wants to impress the young man, so tell him a story about how, you know, the George Romero movie, Night of the Living Dead, was real. You know, and not only that, but they had zombies down in the basement. So this brain trust goes down there and decides to investigate further. And they find two zombies in tubes? Was that right?
Four.
Right? Four zombies in tubes. And, I mean, in Three Stooges style, they end up letting them out and letting the gas out. Right,
with the classic line, oh, this thing won't break. It's being made by the Army Corps of Engineers. Yeah.
Smack.
I mean, it came with everything back.
Yeah.
Of course, they're laying on the ground. They're taking in all that gas. So that leads to hijinks later.
It leads to a very long, like, opening credit scene.
Oh, God.
Taylor mentioned that, and I watched this all in fast forward, so I was like, yeah, that's rough, buddy.
Okay, but the music to the opening scene was badass.
It was good, but I was just like, what am I watching?
Yeah. You have a group of punks out in the cemetery hanging out, which, you know.
Like you do.
As you do.
Average.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna waste some time in the 80s.
Uh-huh. And some of that gas seeps out from the old medical supply place and gets down in the cemetery and starts raising up all the zombies and...
Like you do.
Yeah, again, you know, these guys are kind of like they all got rejected from Billy Idol's entourage. They weren't quite good enough to hang out with Billy Idol or The Clash or the Ramones. So they're all out there talking about, like, having sex with zombies and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's a weird mix of people.
It was.
Yeah. When the one girl becomes a zombie, she looks a lot like Ronald McDonald's sister. Am I wrong?
Ooh. That was some bright hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. A sexy Ronald McDonald.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. I think we were all thinking it. Yeah. I think if we can be honest.
Oh yeah, I would have banged her. That poor hobo. I mean, like, what a way to go.
Yeah,
you just got to see. You got to see a pretty, you know, pretty sweet little strip show. As she's walking up to him, and then
her name was Trash.
Oh
and
yeah,
and then the
yeah.
guy driving the car was Suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was, you know.
Well, Suicide was also a punk band in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. They kind of dressed sort of the same way. They were sort of like the lead punk movement of like wearing chains and like leather jackets.
Well, and as he said, he was like, he has a lot to say. That was that was a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lifestyle.
That
it
car really was a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the zombies break out there. Our two heroes, and I thought they were like uncle and nephew or something. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay, they are.
Or something like
that. I got that vibe. They're related to each other.
Yes, that's how he got him the job, I guess.
And so
Dumbos is what they are.
They end up calling their boss, whose name is...
Clue Gallagher.
Clue Gallagher is the actor. The actor is like Burt Johnson or something. Because it's like, I wish my name was Burt Johnson.
No, I think it's the other way around. The character's name is Burt, and the actor is Clue Gallagher.
Yeah, the actor is Clue Gallagher. Characters, Burt Young, something. It's a great name. I would settle for either name.
My
first name is Clue.
Clue is, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Clue Gallagher. What a great name.
Yeah.
Honestly, Burt is Oklahoma native. First name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was from like UConn or somewhere, wasn't he?
Because he died shortly before we decided to pick this. And then I didn't realize that he was in this much of the movie.
Yeah. And he's solid. Yeah, old Bert's a hard ass, and it's a good thing they went to him because he really knows what to do. He takes the zombie that they dismembered down to the old mortuary, and the mortician who has a Luger right next to him in case somebody sneaks up on him, because you never know if you have to blow somebody away while you're embalming a corpse. They load this zombie in the furnace, and which spews more toxic stuff everywhere and just kind of exacerbates the zombie apocalypse. So that's what I got for a description. I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts. I have seen this once. I saw a very edited movie on cable TV as a kid. Like, really took the wind out of the sails. You don't even see, like, Ronald McDonald Bush in there or anything.
That's not the full effect.
It's just not right. Also, fun fact, no Bush. They actually put a prosthetic vagina on her.
Really?
Specifically for this movie.
You did the deep dive.
I did some research.
Nice.
Pun intended.
Yeah. So they originally were showing Bush.
Enhance. Enhance. Enhance.
Originally they were showing Bush. Someone came on set and was just like, you can't show Bush on TV. Shave her. yeah. So they shave the pubic hair. She goes up, tries again. She's just like, this just doesn't feel right.
I want somebody to get tuned in this podcast like right now.
Yes, exactly.
If like this is your first time listening, I guarantee you there's a lot of pubic hair talk. So then she says she feels too exposed. So they make up a prosthetic vagina to like put on her for this scene because she's very exposed.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a real vagina. Huh. There you go.
Interesting.
No Bush.
That $4 million budget, right? Mm-hmm. Half of it right there.
Yeah.
And then who got to keep that prosthetic?
Think of how much money they saved on Merkins.
Oh, man.
That's
on the Warner Brothers tour.
If you thought saw like Bush, you didn't. You got catfish. You got catfish Bush.
Bitch, you thought.
Yeah.
Catfish Bush sounds gross.
It's my favorite band.
I was going to say. It's my favorite folk singer.
Is that a Bush cover band, but none of them look like what their picture is when you go see them live? They look totally different. They're Bush, but they're catfishing.
It's catfish Bush.
It's just a bunch of like recording musicians, you know?
Yeah.
They don't do stage work.
It's like Milli Vanilli, how they were all ugly, you know, but then they had those two bodybuilders beat Milli Vanilli. So.
Or Bush's opening band is just Shaved.
That would also be a good name. Yeah. Shaved.
Landing Strip would be a good band name.
That is.
Be a great name for like a strip club.
That is. Well, definitely a strip club.
Yeah, I think there's one in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's one in Houston. It's right next to the airport.
Yeah. Oh.
I wish I was making that up.
Let's talk about this movie.
Okay, so we'll start with Trav. You suggested this movie, didn't you?
I did. Mainly because, one, it had been a while since I had seen it. And then I knew it was basically, it hit all these tropes of, and it's where a lot of them kind of originated as well. Like, so it's not, it's a little bit of a parody, but it's not quite Scary Movie parody where, you know, they do have obviously kind of the wink winks and they do reference the Night of the Living Dead film directly, But other than that, you know, other than just being stupid as shit, but they're not turning around and winking at the camera. There's no like Charlie Sheen, like actor doing like a quick cameo and be like, oh, am I going to get killed? I don't know. So it's a little bit taken seriously, but it's absurd is what it is. And I love it.
Yeah.
Also, the first time I saw it was on TV and all the good parts were cut out. So yeah. When I finally saw it on TV or like HBO or something, I was like, whoa, titties. I was still quite young.
I want to make like that into your text tone when you text me.
Can you just clip that and send it out to everybody so we have
titties. Oh, Travis is texting me.
Yeah. To be fair, that happened the first time I saw titties. And then today, every when time I saw titties, I was also, whoa.
Every subsequent time.
Yeah. Exactly. It never gets old. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it had all those little tropes in there. And I love like the uncle, nephew. They're just so stupid. Now, I think they also both are in Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Now, I think 1 and 2 are the only ones worth actually seeing. Mm-hmm. The other ones, I think, get like more and more absurd.
How many
are there? I think 4 or 5. Yeah. I think 3 is when some guy's like girlfriend dies in a motorcycle accident and his dad works at wherever they keep these canisters. He goes, I've heard some shit that my dad does. I think I can bring her back. And he like breaks in, brings his girlfriend back to life. It's fine for a little bit. Then it's really not. That's it. No. That's the movie. She's eating people in the sewer. But
so how are the uncle and nephew in the sequel?
Pray tell. Don't know. I don't think they say anything. They just make them completely brand new characters. Hmm. They just yada yada it. But they're like, oh, yep, they're back here somehow.
Shakespeare did that a lot.
Completely mm-hmm. ignored yeah. the character
yeah.
died.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Completely ignored that they died. And it's just more canisters on a truck or something, and they hit a bump. One canister falls.
How many canisters are there?
Yeah,
I guess there's a bunch. I guess each one of these zombies they round up in the
Easter eggs.
Yeah,
the Easter eggs have hatched.
Exactly.
What baffled me in the beginning was when they have that little grouchy general that was like,
yes. you
know, talking to his wife.
A dick.
That was perfect.
Well, didn't she say something like, you know, I made like pasta or something?
Lamb chops.
I had lamb chops for lunch.
It's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you eat Chef Boyardee and like it?
She didn't look too enthused when, you know, over that.
Why couldn't they eat his brains first?
Yeah. So this also has a Tar Man zombie, which is a dude under the stairs that's a crazy mime. And that's where everybody thinks that zombies eat brains is from this movie and the sequels. Because all the other zombies are just like, whatever, like flesh eaters. Interesting thing to note is that I think O'Banion, right, directed this. Mm-hmm. I believe he was also may have worked on Night of the Living Dead with George Romero. And then when, you know, the fuck up with the Night of the Living Dead happened and it became a public domain because they forgot to put in the credits, like, you know, copyright or whatever. I think O'Banion copyrighted the name Living Dead. So all of Romero's subsequent movies couldn't have Living Dead in the title. That's why it's like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. It was just of the dead.
Yeah.
And then why this dude got to do 4 different Return of the Living Deads. But yeah, I like this movie. I don't watch it all the time. It's not like a yearly thing, but like it's a good 1 every 5 years.
Yeah.
I just wanted you guys to experience it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the greatest film ever, but like it's got all the Hallmark boxes ticked for a Halloween flick.
Yeah.
Titties, crazy teenagers in the graveyards partying.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Vaginas.
Piercings. Mm-hmm.
Cool
shitty cars. Yeah,
cool haircut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need that haircut,
there
by the way.
A few cool haircuts.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite lines are zombies that talk, that grab the mic and be like, send more paramedics.
Send more paramedics.
More
send
police. More cops. Yeah.
Brains?
So this has developed a cult following. It's nowhere near like Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I thought it was worthy of this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 1 to 10.
That's 5.
Oh, 1 to 10 on the horror scale.
It's 7.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. which is how I rated it for the podcast. Like I or my review site, it's like I thought of it in terms of other horror movies rather than, you know, as a whole.
You got to grade on a curve.
Exactly.
You just have to.
I remember like Roger Ebert saying that when he would give like, you know, Jerry Maguire 3 stars, but then he gave like, you know, some comic book movie 3 stars. It's not to say that they're equal. It's just you're grading them on like.
In the genre.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire against other rom-coms, you know, or superhero movie against, you know, Superman, Batman. So, yeah.
I see that.
Yeah. Okay. So if you read my review, I'm grading against other horror movies that we're watching, especially ones right now. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Sean?
I loved it. I thought it was great. So I had never seen it. So this was my first time. But it definitely does have some of like the look at the camera and like kind of wink moments where she's just like, you know what I think would be the worst way to die? Being surrounded by old men.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are taking a bite out of you and eating you. And then she takes off her clothes. Like, that is 100% like self-awareness. Might as well just turn to the camera and just go, wink, wink.
No.
But no, I thought it was great. Just the props were stupid. The half-dog zombies.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, there's some camp.
There is so much camp. Totally. It's great. Yeah. Like,
oh, the dialogue.
The arm that's just like flailing and just like attacking all of them. The fact that the gas brings like completely dead people back to life, like it completely reverses what we know of the zombie trope today, which is like some sort of chemical attack or something turns human beings into like brain dead attacker hordes, you know. It's not that. It's straight up just like this dead body has come back to life somehow. We don't know how. Chemicals. Whoa.
And the spinal column that flips and flaps around like a little tail.
I'm so mad that the skeletons that they totally foreshadowed didn't come back to life. Like the ones that they were just like, perfect teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They did a whole like 5-minute bit about skeletons and like how they're organized just for them to not come back to like.
Yeah, and the fat dude on the morgue table, like he never popped up and like walked out of a closet and they weren't like, oh shit.
No.
Because he didn't get rained on.
Wow.
But, you know, that guy was straight up a Nazi. The mortician.
Yeah.
He was speaking in German.
He was speaking in German. He was listening to like a German march. He had a Luger. Mm-hmm. They implied that he was like an escaped Nazi scientist.
Yeah.
I do love that actor though. Cause I've never seen him in anything else other than like, I think he was in Weekend at Bernie's and he was like the assassin that went to go like that actually killed Bernie and then was like, shit, he's still alive and kept trying to kill him. But he's great.
Yeah. Now
I got to watch that. Great.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
You never seen Weekend at Bernie's?
I don't remember him. So I got to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'll understand the plot.
Yeah.
This did have one other really good trope that like it on top of just the zombies, the mindless zombies kind of going burns, like the horror trope of like the, chaste female who survives until the end versus the slutty female who gets killed early on. Very big horror trope.
Yeah.
Obviously happened here. There was also a third one who just sort of died off. Did she die off screen?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, eventually they all died, right?
Well, they all got nuked.
No, she was next to him when they were on the phone. So, yeah, she also got nuked, but she survived until the end.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, that's just another classic horror trope.
Yeah.
Also, I was reading about, apparently this director, like, actually had extras eating calf brains, like, real.
Oh, yeah, I
like,
saw that.
That's not weird at all.
That's how mad cow disease spread, right?
Yeah.
That's like the entire way that disease spreads.
Yeah.
He ate some himself. So he was like, just to show you that I would never ask you to do something I wouldn't do. And he ate it. And he was like, I thought it was going to be a big thing, but nobody really gave a shit. He was like, okay, well, whatever.
A lot of movies cry out for some serious method acting. This was not one of them.
No. No.
Well, I guess he told him he would give him extra, like, something or, like, I don't know, pay them more.
There was a cow brain eating cause in their contract.
$4 million in 1985. It was like.
I know for sure he said, like, the one time when the mortician goes out to the ambulance and he closes it and there's, like the dismembered guy eating, he was eating calf's brains.
Hmm. Interesting.
I like the half a woman that they interrogated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, just like grab her. And she was just
spinal column.
Spinal column all wriggly. And she's just like, it hurts. It takes away the pain of being dead. Completely unnecessary detail.
Absolutely
unnecessary.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
Oh, this movie was dumb. I loved it.
Yeah.
7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Oh.
On the curve.
Without the curve.
4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that sense. Yeah. But Tay, what do you think?
I had never seen it either. I even texted Travis within the first 5 minutes. He's like, what the fuck am I watching? And when he, thankfully, he responded with like, he's like, it's a parody. So I took it as like, oh, it's going to be like, it's just going to play off Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. But and clearly it did, but it was like, it was like its whole standalone. Like you didn't need to watch the first one or anything like that. It was like, So I ended up liking it more because I was like, oh God, are they just going to go on and on about everything? But it's like, no, they kind of said, we're going to do our own thing. And it sucked, but in a great way. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. The movie was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
The dialogue in a lot of scenes was just way too long. Even at the very end, I wouldn't, you know, the damn colonel was like writing everything down, like, yes, sir. Well, we'll be on it, sir. And I was like, holy shit. And I was like, are we still going on this? And it was like, and same with the uncle and the kid, like the very beginning. And that's why I was like, what is going on?
All right, now right put now? The packing peanuts in.
Yeah.
They spent like 5 minutes on packing peanuts.
God. And I was like, this is going to kill me. And then, but even then, it was like a few times in some of the quote unquote action scenes. It was just like going on and on. And I was just like, well, when I hear dialogue, I'll pick back up. And I was just like kind of like goofing around. But I still liked everything what it was, knowing that it was, I was thinking it was going to be like Hot Shots or something like that. Like just be this super, super campy movie. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that, but it was still good. I am actually shocked about like how well it kind of looked. I was kind of weird, but like I was a man. A lot of these things look like they put a lot of effort into it. Not a lot of effort to it, but like enough that I was like, wow. So they really, like the little things, like spray painted the entranceway to the cemetery.
Yeah.
I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Why would they do that? And I was like, well, I guess, you know, it's run down. I was like, wow, like, why would they even go above and beyond to spray paint that?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, what are they doing? But I don't know. A lot of that stuff was just ridiculous. Yeah. But I will say I did like it. Watching it again is questionable, but I will say it was like, I mean, it was a campy ass film, and I mean, 4 at best, just like on a regular, it's just like, but I think for me watching it for the first time and thinking of it like, man, would I watch this again in the Halloween? You know, I'm actually going to say like, I would watch it again, like around this time of year.
Yearly or would you wait 2 to 5 years?
Just for something like if I had drank an excessive amount of Grenache and, you know, other things, it's like, I would be like, yeah, put this on. It'd be great background noise. And not that I'm going to sit there and just be like, okay, guys, you got to watch this great film. That's, you know, it's a perfect Halloween film. No, I'm not doing that. But it's like, hey guys, I've had 3 bottles of wine in my butthole. Let's go ahead and watch this real quick. That's actually my official rating.
And like Sean said, the music is kind of dope.
The music fucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. So someone says, okay, I'm hosting a Halloween party. I need a zombie movie on in the background. What movie do you turn on?
Oh, man. That is a great, great question. The first one that pops in my mind, which I don't even know if you really, I think we've had this discussion before. But going from zombie, I think Shaun of the Dead is like one of mine. Yeah, but it was like, but
that's another zombie satire.
Yeah. And it's like, that's like just a great background. But like, I don't even know. I was going to, the only other one that popped up in my head was 28 Days Later. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Shaun of the Dead is like a really, really, really good movie. Like, it's just
this movie turned up to like,
yeah. Shaun of the Dead, I will watch yearly. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's gotten better every time I watch it. I enjoy it more.
Yeah.
And we've already podcasted on it, but...
No, we haven't.
I don't think we haven't
podcasted on Shaun of the Dead? What the fuck?
I think we just talked about it every single time.
God damn it. Like, yeah. It's so good.
Don't worry, there's always next year.
Anyway, guys, if you're listening to this, don't watch Return of the Living Dead. Go watch Shaun of the Dead if you haven't seen it. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And then go back and watch
it. It'd be a good double like feature for Halloween. Put those two together. Mm. You're going to get zombied out, but it'd be good.
Yeah.
And I do believe in this... And I could be wrong. I tried to look it up, but this whole side of the zombies being like, oh, we only eat brains, I think was parodied in The Simpsons. In one of their Halloween specials, it was like, brains.
Because they're like knocking on Homer's head.
Yeah. And it was just, it's like, brains. So I like when I saw that, I was like, man, is this where The Simpsons kind of got it from? Oh, I was like, 100%. Had to be. Yeah.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah, so it's reached, you know, certain cultural, like, wink, wink nudges. Once it hits The Simpsons, it's made it.
I know. Simpsons are ahead of their time on most stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
And this was back when The Simpsons were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this was a classic.
What, seasons 7 to 11 or something is the sweet spot?
Yeah. This one might have been the earlier one. This is like one of their earlier.
4 or 5 seasons. Yeah.
Their
yeah.
Halloween episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Treehouse of Horrors, probably season like 7 or 8, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. It was in there somewhere because, it was early for sure.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Iconic zombie movie?
The most of all time. I mean, I'd say Shaun of the Dead's up there for me. I mean, the original Night of the Living Dead is up there. But I enjoyed 28 Days Later a lot. So I know it's weird to like cite more recent movies, but those are the ones that I think of as
28 Days Later. Hey, not that recent.
I know, it's sad.
Sorry, didn't buddy.
We did pod on Night of the Living Dead, the 90s one, right? That Tom Savini directed. I'm pretty sure we did that.
I don't think so.
Have you seen that, Sean?
The 90s Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
No.
So Return of the Living Dead.
We are brought to you by Hidden Valley.
I wouldn't put Shaun of the Dead in the background of a party because everybody would stop and just watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
true,
good.
True that, yeah.
I mean, it's good shit.
Yeah. I enjoy this a lot. I would give this probably 7, 7.5. I mean, just for garbage, like you know, junk food Halloween movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tay, what's your without the curve? Like,
Seven.
Oh, seven.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, and really, that's the only way to grade a Halloween movie because this is the only time of year you're probably going to watch it unless you're a true aficionado. Most people are just going to check these movies out in October, like around Halloween. So I think this is the best way to grade them is like how you'd watch them right now when you're in the mood. And if you're in the mood of this, I think it's a lot of fun. It's goofy. It's smart and stupid at the same time. It's a good mixture of both, you know. Doesn't take itself seriously.
Like this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, God. Before we close out, I have to say, I was trying to look up the sequel to this, the second movie. I didn't find it out for free streaming, but Amazon Prime has the worst movie I've ever seen, The Howling 7, which is also called The Howling New Blood. I started watching it just like the first 3 or 4 minutes. No fucking clue what was happening. It's awful.
How's the aspect ratio?
I'm going to try. Oh, it is awful. It
like 6:5?
It's full screen, and I don't know what happened. I think somebody stepped on like the film before they tried to, for the first three minutes. Whatever this was, this is the last copy that they managed to find. They're like, before this fled into obscurity.
This film stock is sticky.
Yeah. Somehow someone fit a laser disc into a VHS and they recorded off that.
Like, yeah. We got it.
I think they like, you know, had to put two pieces of tape together with just like a fruit roll up. And they were like, oh, it worked. Let's cut, print. We got it.
So, yeah, I enjoyed this. I mean, I'd say 7.5. I mean, it's fun. I'd recommend it. If you're looking for just, you know, check out and have fun kind of Halloween movie, it's perfect for that. So, and that's my kind of Halloween movie. I mean, the next one we're going to do is a little bit darker, and I could definitely admire the craft of it.
A little bit?
Yeah, it's a lot of bit.
Yeah. Same runtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no coincidence.
Hour 30.
Yeah. Perfect. I love an hour 30 horror.
Yeah. Perfect length.
Exactly.
That's what she said.
I would say I admire the craft of it. I enjoyed that one less. I'd like them to be a little more, you know, goofy and stupid for my Halloween, you know, cuisine. But we'll get to that in the next movie.
Yeah.
Sangre de Toro, Garnacha. It's about $10 a bottle. It's not a bad
one. Spanish for Garnacha.
Exactly. El Nino, Spanish for the Nino.
The Nino.
But yeah, check it out. Garnacha, a lot of antioxidants. Keep those brains healthy. we got Travis.
Joy.
Sean.
Hey.
And my name's Todd. And we will see you guys next time. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Adios.
So, see you guys next time.
Bye.
Cinema Vino is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a great way to spoil your pet at an affordable price. Sign up, and every month you'll get a fresh box of treats and chew toys, all specifically matched to your dog's size, weight, and health. Go to www.barkbox.com/cinemavino to get 1 month of free goodies on a multi-linked plan. That's $35 worth of presents for your pup just for signing up at www.barkbox.com/cinemavino.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
It's like, you can't show Bush on TV. Shave her.